Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up for you. He may move.
Come on, let's bless God together. Something about a people of God together makes all the difference in the world. When they were all together on one accord, great and marvelous things happened among the people of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. And again, God, we've come to that special moment in the celebration when we are ready to hear from you. What will you say unto us? There is a word from the Lord. It is why we have come this great distance. It is what has inspired us to fight through. That we would receive a fresh rhema. Your word would fall upon our ears, even unto our hearts. Speak to us, we pray. God, bring us closer, closer and closer till we feel your breath upon us. You speak to us, our lives will change. And God, I pray that you'll do it again. Lord, you've done it before and I know you'll do it again. Do it for us. Do it in us. Lift us higher. Plant us deeper. Make us stronger in the name of Jesus. And once again, God, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy in Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord again and again and again. Come on, bless him. Bless him. This is not for the pastor, this is for the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn your electronic devices on. Tablets, smartphones, other devices, Nook, Kindle, all that stuff. Pull up your Bible app. 1 Peter. The fifth chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5. And our reading will begin at verse 6. We find ourselves in the closing remarks of the first letter that Peter writes. And he is giving sound knowledge, good discipline in the doctrine. Verse 6 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and in his good time, he will honor you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. I I want to take just a moment of your time and go back and look at verse 9, if you will, from this New Living Translation of the Bible, where Peter says to the children of God, take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. I want you to do me a favor just for these few minutes that are ours together. And I want you to make this definite declaration for yourself. You know, usually right along here, I will say to you, to say to your neighbor that the pastor is going to preach. But we're not going to do that today. I'm going to ask you to make this definite declaration for yourself. And the Bible says that when we are in a certain state of mind or a certain state of being, we need witnesses. All right. And so I want you to pick a witness close by. I'm not going to tell you, again, usually I will say to you, turn to your neighbor or something like that. But I want you to find somebody that's going to hold you accountable to this declaration that I'm going to ask you to make. And your declaration is going to be your declaration. Now, I do know this, that a lot of times, Luther, when I ask folk to do stuff, they don't do it. That's just part of the pastor's, you know, plight. But I'm asking you today to help yourself. And when I ask you to make this declaration, it's for your own good. What I'm getting ready to say to you in these next few minutes, and I'm not going to take up too much of your time, is going to help you if you'll help yourself. And so I'm telling you now, you need to find somebody who's going to hold you accountable to what I'm going to tell you to say. I don't want you to turn to the familiar folk, because what I've learned in these 18 years is a lot of time the folk you talking to ain't helping you. So I need you to find somebody who's going to hold you accountable. Now, if you have to move a little bit or lean or something like that, then you go and do what you got to do. But this is going to help you. And so I need you to find a witness that's going to hold you accountable. And say to that witness. Matter of fact, I need you to stand up and say it. Stand on your feet. I'm just about finished. Need to stand up, find that witness that's going to hold you accountable. And say to that witness, I'm not backing up. And I'm not backing down. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not backing up, and I'm not backing down. Peter says to the church that they need to take a stand. He says to them, you take a firm stand. And he tells them that their stance is not against the choir. It's not against the usher, it's not against the pastor, it's not against your husband, it's not against your wife, it's not against any of these foolish things we've taken a stand against, it's against the enemy. It's against him. And he identifies earlier that the him is the devil. Satan. The foolishness that we endure is coming from Satan. And he says to them, you take a stand. Don't back up. And don't back down. He says to them that it is important for you to know where your fight is. Because until you know who you're fighting, you're not going to know how to fight. There are some fights that you can fight verbally. You can talk your way out of it. You can talk a little trash and folk will believe you and never walk away from it. There are some fights that you can fight just by looking. Someone look for, you know, sometimes people walk by and you say, ooh, he looked like a tough guy. Ooh, she looked tough. And you win that fight. You can eyebrow folk. You can snarl and grin there. Folk get scared. But this fight, You're going to take a stand. You're going to have to get on your feet and plant yourself and look him in the face and tell him, I'm not backing up and I'm not backing down. I've gone as far as I'm going backwards in fear and running and hiding and shame. Enough. I'm taking my stand. And he said to them that you need to understand that what's happening to you is happening to everybody. You're not the only one that the devil is giving hell. You're not the only one. And he tells them, he said, you got to be careful and watch out. Tell your neighbor, watch out. No, not that kind of watch out. The kind that is the kind of urgency. Watch out. Because the devil is coming. He's prowling, looking for an innocent victim, looking for somebody who's unaware, looking for somebody unprepared, untrained, unskilled, so he can destroy you. He doesn't want to just hurt you. He wants to devour you. Your pity party ain't going to be enough for him. He wants you dead. He wants you to give up on everything that you believed God for. Just because he showed up and started something. He tells them, he said, listen, first thing you need to do is to become a disciple of humility under the power of God. I could probably pause right there and make my stand, because there are too many of us that are puffed up in our own side, in our own understanding of ourselves. We are our own advertisement, and we suggest to others that we is it. But he says, humble yourselves and watch what happens in this humility. You become the recipient of the power of God. Y'all missed the shout right there. If you humble yourselves, you become the recipient of the power of God. You still didn't see the shout. When you learn how to back down a little bit in your pride and arrogance and realize that you're just a servant, you're just another one of the sheep. You're not the end all and be all. You're not the grand madam. You're not the grand sir. You don't have to be in this grandiose state of mind all the time. He said, but if you just slow down a little bit, you become the recipient. It's right there. He said, when you humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, in good time you'll get on. God will lift you up, and God will give you a crown. God will give you a grand coronation, the cotillion and all. You'll get all of that if you just learn how to humble yourself. And in good time, you know what he said? He said Isaiah was right. They that wait upon the Lord. Some of y'all don't know how to wait. Some of y'all are always in a hurry. And what I've discovered is you're always in a hurry because it's all about you. You don't slow down to think about nobody else. You don't slow down to consider your fellow man. Some of y'all in traffic, the line is long and cars are trying to get in. And instead of you letting somebody go, you scooch up a little bit. You ain't really going nowhere. Instead of you just saying, you know, I might as well let that guy go. We ain't going nowhere to her. You almost hit the car in front of you to keep from letting somebody in. You get in the line in the grocery store and you see the sign says 20 items or less. You know you got 30 items. And rather than you say, no, I'm going to get on in this line where I ought to be, you ease over and then look at folk like, what you looking at me for? I can't count. I know I got 31. So you got to humble yourself. Some of us are so confident and so conceited that if they don't call our name, we don't come back no more. No, he said, just humble yourself. And doing so, you become the recipient of the power of God. He said, and when God gives you power, he gives you an accompaniment called honor. That which is lacking among many of us. We lack honor and integrity. We like certain characteristics, certain attributes are not among us anymore. But he tells them, he said, listen, God ain't happy about the pride.
God is not happy about those who don't have no humility. Nudge your neighbor and say, you don't want that to happen. He said, so do this. And then he said, listen, what you need to understand is you're carrying too much baggage. You're carrying too many concerns. Some of us, Deacon Anderson, cannot praise God because we're so weighed down with problems. And front, you know, when somebody says, come on and give the Lord praise, all you're thinking about is, I ain't got nothing to praise God for. You don't know what I'm going. You got too much in your bag there, honey. You need to get rid of it. He said, listen, give it over to the Lord. Get rid of all your worry. Jesus comes to mind, Reverend Uriel, when he said, listen, you ought not worry about today and tomorrow and all that stuff. He said, get rid of all that. See, some of the way y'all looking at me now, some of y'all are worried. You're worried about a bill. You're worried about a relationship. You came to praise the Lord. You didn't come here to set up another camp of worrying. You didn't come here to be frustrated at the end of the service. You came to go out with joy. The Lord said, take my yoke because it's easy. You didn't take his yoke. You told him, no, that ain't. Now, here, take this here, and then here. And then you say, give me that back. I got to go back with it. Don't worry. Give it over. Let it go. He said, because God is concerned about what happens to you. Now, right there, Mother Davis, I could have shouted all by myself for the rest of the service just to know that God is concerned about what's happening to me. Y'all missed it. He said, listen, he cares. God cares. Okay, your sister there, your brother there, you got your family. Y'all done sit around and talk. Y'all done got on the phone. You've text, emailed. But you missed the greatest email of all. You didn't open up the right text. God cared about what happened. Now notice, he didn't say some of what happens. He cares about what happened. All of it. No matter what happened, God cared. And you know what I've come to learn? That whatever God cares about, he gets involved in. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. When God knows that you're in trouble, he's a very present help in trouble. When God knows you're hungry, he becomes your food. When God knows you're thirsty, he becomes your water. When God knows your enemies are coming, he puts the hedge round about you. When God knows you're on the wrong side of the river, he becomes a bridge. When God sees you in the valley, he lowers the mountain. I said, God cares. Nudge your name, tell him, don't make me. Make me tell him all about my struggle.
Come on.
Don't make me tell God about what you're doing to me, because he cares what happened.
Yes, he does.
To me. Can you look at somebody, anybody, and tell them, oh, I'm mad? I know some of you are saying, well, Reverend, you just told us to be humble. Well, this is the free one. Because I matter. You may not appreciate me. You may minimize me, but Bible says that I matter. Everything about me matters. Doesn't matter if I got money. My daddy got the money. Doesn't matter if I have popularity among the masses. Everybody knows my dad. That doesn't matter if you want to lift me. He's going to lift me. Because I matter. So he said, listen, now, be careful. Then he comes along. I'm just about there. He says, now, brothers and sisters, please understand that the Lord has called you. Mm-hmm. He called me because he wants me. So Peter says, now, let me see if I can help them because they need help. This is the last letter in the first letter, the last few paragraphs. And so he says, you're going to have to take a stand. It's on now. Conflict is going to happen. Uh-huh. Look at your name and tell them, conflict, that's number one. Conflict is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Why does conflict happen? Conflict happens when you are contrary to that which is happening that you don't want to happen. Did y'all get that? Conflict. Listen, if you and the devil were... Now watch this now. Some of y'all gonna find your shout muted here. Because if you and the devil are in alignment and league together, there's no conflict. Sister Odie got it. Anybody else need that? I said conflict is going to happen. Right. Can I talk like I want to? Conflict is supposed to happen. Yeah. Because we are counter to that which the devil wants done. Yeah. Oh, it's happening. Conflict. Yes, why? Because we are not in league with the devil.
That's right.
We disagree with him.
Yeah.
And so conflict's going to happen. And Peter said, when conflict happens, you're going to have to make a choice. Just about there. Choice. Choice. You can either be with him or be with him.
Amen.
Yeah. Bible says that you can't tarry, you can't flip-flop between two opinions.
Right.
Either God is God or you got conflict. The devil says, pick me. I'm your boy. And the problem is, some of us don't pick well. Some of us have decided to make Jesus our option. Some of us have decided to make Jesus the alternative. Some of us have decided to make Jesus our side piece. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you can be sugar daddy, but you can't be my father. Jesus, you can pay my bills, but I'm not going to give you a tithe. Jesus, you can build me a house, but I'm not coming to yours. Y'all ain't talking to me. Jesus, you can lift me up, but I'm not going to exalt your name. Jesus, you can get me out, but I'm not coming in. I'm telling you now, you are a bad chooser. That's why you got conflict. And conflict is going to come. And then after conflict and choice, there's the challenge.
Uh-huh.
Either you take a stand or you get run over. Grandmother put it this way, Reverend Uriel. She said, either you're going to stand for this or stoop for anything. Mm-hmm. It's right in the text. He said, now I'm telling you that he's looking for victims. And so, what I need you to do is take a stand. Now watch what he says very quickly thereafter. King James, New Living Translation, NIV, Message, all of them say the same thing. Against the devil.
Uh-huh.
Can you look at one more neighbor and tell him, you're fighting against me. Can I tell you that I ain't blind? Have I told y'all I can see y'all?
That's right.
I did tell you I can see all the way to the back there, didn't I? Do you know what I just saw? I saw some folk who I just said that you meet Kevin. Remember earlier? I'm about finished now. Remember earlier? Remember, as my cousin say, remember earlier when I told you that I know that everybody who I tell you to talk to don't talk to you, and folk don't say what I tell them to say, and folk won't do what I tell them to do. I told you that's the pastor's plight. I just stood here and watched some folk. When I told you to turn somebody and tell them my faith, they ain't say nothing. If you can't do the simple thing, you couldn't even crook your neck to talk to somebody sitting right by you and just say something affirmative to tell them, listen, your fight ain't with me. So here's what I'm telling you now. If you sitting by somebody who didn't say something to you, there's your conflict. You have just identified that you are unequally yoked with folk who are in God's house who are not on God's plane. Because all I said to you was to say to them what God said to say. My fight is not with you. So if you can't tell me your fight ain't with me, maybe you're telling me my fight is with you. Maybe you are my conflict. Maybe me hanging out with you is what's hurting me. Maybe me being in league with you has put me out of sorts with God. And we're not doing do-overs. It's good information for me to know that you sitting by folk who cannot even identify you with integrity, that they're not your conflict. Wasn't too much to say. Then there's the challenge. The challenge is, Bob said that, can I go Old Testament for a minute here, and I'll be at the end of it. The Bible said that when God called the children of Israel, he told them to not walk with them other folk. He said, when you're coming through, don't get off the path. Don't stop by and visit your cousin, the Jebusites and the Amorites. He said, just stay with me. Stay behind Moses. The challenge. Our problem is we like to be wafflers. We like the hokey pokey ministry. We like to put our left foot in and take our left foot out. We like to go and then come back. We like to freelance. Tell God, hold up, let me holler at my boy. I'll be back with you in a minute. He said, here's the challenge. Stay with me. Leave them and stay with me. Ain't nobody saying that. Here's the challenge. Leave them and stay with me. Stay with me, or be with them. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, it's in the text. He said, you got to strengthen your faith. Faith is me. You're going to have to take the challenge to walk with me and let me do this. It's right there in the text. He said, God is going to give you what you need. But you're going to have to stand firm against him. And be strong with me. And remember that there is a collaborative effort here. Others are with us. Other brothers and sisters. Can I tell you now that somebody you're sitting by is going through? Yeah. Somebody in their church clothes, with it fried, dyed, and thrown to the side, nails clipped, trimmed, and properly French manicured, are going through. Somebody sitting here right now has got a mess on their hands. And they didn't come here to be criticized. They didn't come here to be looked at funny. They came here to get some help. They came asking, is there a word from the Lord? Does God care about me? He said, remember, everybody's going through. Everybody is in the fight of their life. Everybody, let me see if I can hurry along to my last argument here. Is there anybody not going through? Anybody in here ain't got nothing going on? No. We all in this together. He said, to keep that in mind, he said, because everybody all over the world is in the same kind of suffering. Look at them and say, well, I'll be. And good as you been. So you mean tell me you ain't no better than me? So your children are crazy. Your husband and wife be tripping too. What you say? So you mean on your job, you ain't always employee of the month. You mean tell me them people call your house too from numbers you don't know? What you say? So you mean to tell me that you have cast your pearls to the swine too? You mean to tell me you walk floors in your house at night too? Your goose down feather pillow don't afford you a good night's sleep either? Well, honey, hush. Well, since we all in the same situation, we ought to all be able to say thank you, Jesus, at the same time. We ought to all be able to throw our hands up to the master and say, God, I thank you for getting me through one more hour, because I never would have thought it would be like this, but God, I thank you that it's as well as it is. I came here broken. I came here hurting, but I made up my mind that I will bless the Lord at all times. Here I thought that you were living a perfect life. But you just like me. That ain't your hair either, huh? Well, honey. He said, remember, watch this, I'm just about finished. He said, remember, he said, everybody's in some kind of trouble. So we have understood that there has some conflict happening. That there are some choices that we've made. There is a challenge before us. But then again, we go back to one that we've introduced before. There must be a choice. You said, no, there has to be. He said, because God has called you. But now watch this now. He says that you must remember that he will support you. He will restore you and strengthen you. And then he will place you. So here it is. Here's the last argument. That because there is a restoration, God is doing what we call corrective action. Nudge your neighbor and say, he's going to restore me. Because I've been wounded. I've been down. I've been set upon. But God is going to perform some corrective actions. God's going to take that which they meant for evil and prove that it was for good. That's God. God's going to take that which my enemy set as a trap and use it for my triumph. God is going to take the places that used to trip me up and make them my stepping stone. Look at the name and say, I'm going to walk different after this. I'm gonna come out of this thing. Come here, Job. Job says, listen, though he slay me, though I'm in trouble, though things are falling down all around me, everybody's been going crazy, I'm going to come through this better for the burden. God is going to restore me. God's going to make it all right. Why? Because he's an all right God. And I'm going to choose him. I had my druthers, I'd rather not. But since I must, I'll do it with God. He said, God's going to make some corrective actions. Then he said, God's going to also put some concrete up under me. Yeah. He said, God's going to support me. God's going to make my feet firm. God's going to take that which was about to drown me and use it to deliver me. Come here, Peter. Peter said, I ain't got no business out here on this shell water, but if Jesus is out there, I'm going. Let your name say, if Jesus is out there, I'm going. He said, I know I can't walk on it, but if there anybody know that God can take that which is liquid and make it like concrete. Peter's walking on the sidewalk called the Red Sea because God has put it up under him. Look at your name and say, neighbor, the only reason I'm still living is because God has put it up under me. That divorce was supposed to kill me. That bankruptcy was supposed to take me out. Cancer was supposed to destroy me. But God put something up under me. Look at another name and say, the only reason I'm still here is because God put it up under me. I was sinking deep in sin. Didn't think I'd rise no more. But God put it up under me. And because God put it up under me, you can't hold it over me. Look at your name and say, get up off of my back. Get out of my past. Stop talking about me. Stop scandalizing me. Because if God can put it up under me, you can't hold it over me. I'm tired of the rumors. I'm tired of the gossip. I'm tired of the lies. Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Look at your name and tell him, I'm free. I'm free. I'm coming up out of this. I'm tired of hanging my head. I'm tired of dragging my feet. I'm tired of being shamed. I ain't the only one drank liquor. I ain't the only one smoked. I ain't the only one got caught. But thanks be unto God, he looked beyond my faults and met my... Just song time. Dinah Ross, I'm coming out. I've made up my mind. Songtime, Patti LaBelle, I'm feeling good from my head to my shoes. I got a new attitude. God put it up under me. And then he told me to stand. And then he said he's going to give me strength. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's about to be some oops upside the head. Because I'm getting ready to fight different. Come on, tell somebody, give them a high five. Tell them I'm going to fight different. I'm going to stop fighting on the run. I'm going to start fighting in a stance. I'm going to stop fighting in my shame, and I'm going to fight that God get the glory. I'm going to fight different. I'm not going to fight like I used to fight. I'm not going to cry like I used to cry, because God give me the strength. I've made up my mind to put up my dukes. I've made up my mind to take a stance. Look at your name and say, you better watch yourself, because I'm getting ready to fight like a fool. I'm getting ready to knock some stuff out. Sometime LL Cool J said, mama said, knock you out. Look at the devil wherever he is. Look at the devil, whatever he represents, and tell him, I'm about to knock you out. I'm sick of you running my marriage. I'm sick of you taking my children. I'm sick of you destroying my pastor. I'm sick of you destroying my church. I'm sick of you destroying people I love. I'm sick of you stealing from me. I'm sick of you lying on me. I'm about to bust you upside your head. I'm about to knock you out, because the Lord I serve is a strong deliverer. The God I serve is mighty from everlasting to everlasting. And as long as I got Jesus, I don't need no more foolishness. I don't need no more lies. I've made up my mind that I'm coming out. Come here, Papa. Papa says, I stand what I can stand till I can't stand no more. Look at another name and said, this is the last day. This is the last time. You'll never see me like this again. You'll never see me without praise. You'll never see me not wave my hand. You'll never see me not jumping up and down. You'll never see me doing the shame walk, because I've made up my mind to God be the glory. Feel better now. I got my joy back. I got my strength back. I feel better now. I know it's time to go, but I got one more. He says, well, we're going to have to deal with conflict. We're going to have to realize that be some choices, some challenges. He said, then there's going to be some concrete. There's going to be some corrective action. Mm-hmm. But the last thing he says, you don't want to miss this. He said, there'll be a coronation. Yeah. Look at a neighbor and tell him, Cinderella ain't got nothing on me. There will be a day that I get my crown. Yeah. It's right there in the text. He said, listen, you do know that when the day comes, that God's going to give you a coronation. You're going to have a crown of righteousness. You're going to be lifted into a place called firm. Look at your name and say, that's a place right there. It's not a zip code. It's not a jurisdiction. It's a place called firm. Because the power of God said that to them that have endured, to them that have gone through, somebody ought to wave, say, that's me, Reverend. You on my block right now. To him that overcometh, I shall give a crown. Look at your name and say, oh my God, I thought that all that stuff was designed to destroy me. I thought when I lost my job, I thought I'd lose my mind. I thought when I lost my love of my life, I thought when my child left home, I thought when people turned on me, I thought when people died, I thought all of that was destroying me. But the Bible says, to him that overcometh, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm starting to realize that I've gone through more than I can imagine. And because it didn't kill me then, I'm not going to let it kill me now. I've made up my mind that I've come too far to lay down now. I've come too far. In fact, I believe that every step I take and every move I made, God was preparing my crown. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but when Jesus died, the Bible said they put a crown on his head, but it was the wrong crown. Look at your name and say, neighbor, don't get the wrong crown. The Bible says that when they stretched him wide, they put nails in his hand and put nails in his feet and pierced him in his side. And they said, if you are the so-called king, come on down. But tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, If you really want a crown, you gotta stay right there. You gotta hang on in there. Let them criticize you. Let them laugh at you. But stay right there. Because early one Sunday morning, Jesus proved y'all laughed on Friday. But early one Sunday morning, Jesus proves they pick at him on Friday. But early that Sunday morning, the Bible says that Jesus got up. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know what you've been through, but today ain't Friday. I don't know how much you suffered, but today ain't Friday. I don't know how many folk lied on you, but today ain't Friday. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's Sunday. And on Sunday, you're supposed to get up. On Sunday, you're supposed to rise. On Sunday, you're supposed to get your power. On Sunday, you're supposed to give God the glory. Look at your name and say, neighbor, it's Sunday. It's time to rise. It's time to wave your hand. It's time to shout thank you. It's time to give God glory. You made it through Friday, and now it's Sunday. To God be the glory. It's crowning achievement time. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm going to wear my crown after all I've been through. You can't deny me my crown. It's mine. It's mine. Anybody wants your crown? Can you tell God thank you? Say, God, I thank you. Through the tears, through the shame, I made up my mind. I'm not backing up and I'm not backing down. This is the last time you push me back. This is the last time you push me down. I've made up my mind. I'm going to gird up my loins. I'm going to put on my breastplate. I'm going to pull out my sword. And I'm going to fight the good fight. Look at your name and say, neighbor, stay away from my kill zone. I'm getting ready to take some things out. I'm taking out heartache. I'm taking out shame. I'm taking out lies. I'm taking out backstabbing. I'm taking some things out. Look at another name and say, neighbor, stay out of my kill zone. I'm taking out against my church. I'm taking out against my pastor. I'm taking out against my ministry. I made up my mind that I'm taking stuff out. Can I find five people that'll take some stuff out? Say, pastor, I'm on the team. I'm taking stuff out. I've made up my mind that I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I'm taking stuff out. I'm taking stuff out. I'm taking stuff out. Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say take it out. 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 Because it's Sunday. And I'm supposed to ride. Made up my mind. It's coronation day. I can hear the trumpets playing. It's coronation day. The fife and bugle corps are ready. The drum corps is ready. It's coronation day. And the Bible says, as John stood there, angel of the Lord touched him on the shoulder and said, John, who are them folk coming yonder? John looked and said he saw a number no man could number. But he knew it was coronation day. And he said to the angel, Lord, these are they that have washed their robes. Look at the name and say, neighbor, there's a song that goes with that. The song says, I want to be in the number. When all the saints gather at home. Look at another name and say, neighbor, it's coronation day. Because none but the righteous shall see God. Wow, I want to see him. Look upon his face. In that number, they came from the south. They came from the north. They came from the east and the west. But when they came shouting with the voice of triumph, to God be the glory for the great thing he has done. John said, I don't know all them people, but I know they're my cousins. Because we are all in the family. After all I've been through, I've decided I'm going to make it. I've decided today
that I'm not backing up. And I'm not backing down. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, sometimes make your point, you got to say it like you feel it. She said, don't you do it. She said, because Miss Davis is going to have a heart attack. And they're going to charge you as an accessory to her demise. But there's a way I could say this thing. But I just want you to know that you're going to be challenged. There's going to be conflict. But you got to make some choices. Please understand that the challenge is real. Even God issues a challenge. But he's going to make some corrective action. How many of you can testify today that you're yet still alive? Because God made some corrective actions. God saw some of y'all too far to the left, and he eased you back over, and some of y'all too far to the right. And he, but some of us, we're well beyond a butch where we get eased back in. God had to... How many of y'all still feeling it from the backside where God had to oof you back in line? Tell your neighbor, say, I'm from the oomph school of life. God had to oomph me back in life. Come on, talk to me, y'all. And he good. He don't use the point of the shoe. He turned his foot sideways. So again, if it hadn't been for a couple of oomph from the Lord, some of y'all have been dead and sleeping in your grave. Aren't you glad God oomph you back in line? Look at the neighbor, say, do you need me to oomph you back? I don't mind. Be glad to do it. Matter of fact, I hope two or three of y'all have been wanting to do it for you. Ask me. God made some corrective. But then he put that concrete up under me. Bible says he made my feet firm. You can jump up and down on that. Anybody want to have a God, you can jump up and down on that. My God is firm. He put it up under me. Why? So I wouldn't fall. That's why he's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Satan has been trying to trip me up, but God put it up under me. God said, walk this way. I got you. And then he says, there will be a coronation. We shall wear a crown someday. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, this ain't that day. But someday. Someday we gonna be standing there at the grand ball. They're gonna be calling names. And they're gonna have the sergeant at arms, the concierge of heaven will be standing there. Big old giant box full of crowns. And it's not going to be one size fit all. They're going to be tailor made. That way nobody can't wear your crown. And it's going to have your name inside. Duly scribed by the scribe of heaven. And you'll call and you'll walk through and they'll recognize you for your perseverance. They're going to recognize you for all your pain. That's why the Bible says, having done all to stand. And when he calls our name, some of us are going to tear up a little bit as we walk toward the podium, coming across the grand stage paved in gold. The lights will be shining. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost will be nudging each other, saying, hey, I told you he was going to make it. Father's going to say, shh, quiet. I'd like to hear these names. And Jesus is going to be sitting there with his head slightly dipped in humility, realizing that his death on the cross was not in vain. Every now and then he's going to look up and kind of smile. But all I can hear him saying It was worth it. It was worth it. Every time we walk by, he's going to say, it was worth it. But you got to take a stand. Can I get you to hold somebody's hand? Can I get you to just say to them, neighbor, this is the last day that I will ever let you fight alone. I will fight with you, but not against you. I'll fight for you, but not against you. I'll fight as long as you want to fight, but not against you. Neighbor, together, we're going to take a stand. I won't let you back up, and I won't let you back down. This is our mark. We have drawn our line in the sand. And Satan, you have been identified. This is the last time you victimize one of us. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my husband nor my wife. You cannot have my pastor. You can't have our deacons. You can't have our trustees. You can't have our choir. You can't have our ushers. You can't have our youth ministry. You can't have our seniors. You can't have anything that has been labeled by God. And we all bear in our bodies the marks of Christ. You cannot have any. Not one. We all belong to you. And united we stand. And we have made up our minds. This is the mark. I'm not backing down. I'm going to fight till I'm out of fight. And when I'm out of fight, I just believe, Luther Palmer, that I'm going to hear somebody slapping skin. And say, I'm in. Like old wrestling used to come on TV. When you get beat down, you know, you old wrestling, every time your opponent see you trying to grab your partner hand, he drag you away. And then your partner run around to the other side of the ring, just trying to get, and then run. And I just believe that if I can just get a slap, tag out, that I got some help coming in. Look at somebody and say, can I count on you to come in when I'm about to go down? All I need is just and you know, the rules say all you got to do is touch a little bit. We ain't got to hold hands. If I just get a little, my opponent got to recognize that I made contact and my new contemporary is coming in. Look at your neighbor and say, are you coming in? Tell them, yes, I am. And when I come in, I'm coming in. Ain't taking no prisoners. Ain't taking no names. I'm just going to oof the devil. To God be the glory. I made up my mind. You'll never fight alone. So you face that challenge. Your challenges may come from a lot of places. Some of you right now in the midst of a great challenge. But just keep reaching. My daughter and I can't remember what movie it was, but Candace and I, she was a little bitty girl. And I don't remember if it was Alice in Wonderland or, you know, that's what I used to watch with my children. You know, those were better children when we watched movies like Alice in Wonderland and what was the one with the crab under the sea? Little Mermaid. Now your kids don't want to watch. Listen, this is how they turn out when you watch Alice in Wonderland and Little Mermaid. But you remember that movie, Candace, we watched? There's a line in the movie where the lady said, "Help is on the way, dearie." And that became me and Candace's little thing. Whenever something's going, we say, "Help is on the way, dearie." And I want you to know today that your help is on the way. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, "Help is on the way, dearie. Help is on the way, dearie." And there was this movie. I'm gonna let y'all go. But this stuff is ministry to me. But there was one movie we watched and we stuck with it a long time. And it's still with me. I sing it when I'm driving sometimes. There was a movie called Fievel. That's right. That's a movie. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you're right. Said it. Love Fievel the mouse. But there's a part in there where Fievel and his little girlfriend then got separated. And Fievel's in one place, and she's in another place. And they're both looking up, and they say, "Somewhere out there, beneath the pale moonlight, someone's thinking about me and loving me tonight. I want you to know that I'm your Fievel. No matter what's happening to you, somewhere out there, beneath the pale moonlight, your pastor's thinking of you and praying for you tonight." And he said, "And I believe that someday, somewhere, we'll meet in that great out there." In other words, no matter what happens to you, Dinah Ross probably was trying to say it to himself. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough that can keep me from getting to you. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, help is on the way, dearie. Hang on in there. Just a little while longer. By and by, when the morning comes, Jesus is sending help, and I'm coming as fast as I can. Hold on just a little while longer. Your change will come. God be the glory. Help is on the way, dearie. We're going to be all right. Our doors are open. You need help today. You have a God who loves you. And he has dispatched a people to love you. We are your family. We have waited for you beneath the pale moonlight. That someone's thinking of you. I'm praying for you through the watches of the night. The doors of our church are open that you would find discipleship life in Christ Jesus. The God who sacrificed his son did not forget about you. He saw your struggles. He saw you in your pain. And he dispatched help. Our God is an awesome God. And he loves you. You're in a challenge. You're thinking to yourself, "I must have done something God awful. The Lord to leave me at a time like this." But I beg to differ. Our God cannot lie. And I heard him say, "I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you." In fact, the psalm writer said, "If my mother and father should turn on me, if they should forsake me, the Lord will take up the slack." Tell your neighbor, "I know he will." God will never let you down. Peter says to them, "Take a firm stand." Queensberry rules are in effect, but you're going to have to fight. Don't you ever think that you're so grand and glorious and so saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost that you ain't going to have to fight. Everybody got to fight. That's how you get your strength up. Got to fight. But don't be fighting the wrong people. Your fight is not against flesh and blood. You don't need to fight in folk who correcting you and charging you to a better life. You ought to thank them for that. Amen. When folk tell you, "You wrong," just say, "Well, thank you. You're right. I was wrong." Sometimes you got to take a step back and see how bad you are. Amen. You're fighting against me. Pastor, make me sick. All these rules and all these changes. You're just ruining my life. I'm leaving. No. Go up there and say, thank you, Pastor. I was on the verge of losing my marriage, losing my mind, losing my children. I lost my business thinking crazy. But you made me realize that I was wrong. Everybody ain't wrong all the time and you right all the time. God said, I want you to come to me and I won't cast you out. Would you come today and let y'all go? Time to go. I feel like the big man standing there on the Green Mile. I was tired now. Dog tired. But please understand, he loves you. Sometimes if you can just get somebody to hold your hand. I like them old-fashioned hand-holding, Butch. When they don't just hold it, they rub it. That's old saint ministry right there. When people hold your hand and rub it, they're saying something. You know, you get them kind of holding, they do stuff like this. See, that means you're involved. You ain't just limp fishing. You're saying something to me. Hold my hand and rub it. Put a little lotion on it. I got sweaty hands. So if you got a problem with ass, you probably going to hold my hand. Because not only do I minister, but I lube at the same time. It's good and wet, ain't it? Just fine. Gotta hold your hand. I don't go through life, don't nobody hold your hand. You got a God who will do that for you. So God bless you today. If you want to come now, come please. The doors of our church are open for Christian discipleship. We have a responsibility to make disciples. And we don't make no disciples. We got to regroup, try something else. Still do it his way. But we're going to do something a little better. So come on today. And if you haven't made up your mind today, don't think you got forever. This could be the day. The Lord going to come and call us to accountability. So would you come? Maybe today is not your day because you've already had that day, but maybe now you need a new day. The Bible says we have the ministry of reconciliation. God will restore. That's what Peter told them. God will restore you. Maybe you just need restoration. Maybe you kind of lost your zeal. You got a little wore out by the thing. Got misdirected a little bit. You say, you know, that preacher wasn't wrong. I do need to understand this conflict. I do need to understand the choices and the challenge. But I need that concrete. I need them corrected. That preacher was right. I'm going to have to take a stand. Stop backing up. Stop waffling. Amen. How many of you know wafflers? Amen. That's your ministry today. Call them wafflers on the phone. Say, you know, my pastor told me to call you today. Say, what for what? Because you waffle. You got to make a decision. Take a stand. How many know folk who are always hopping around everywhere? You can't tell what they're really all about. You got to take a stand. And so I encourage you today to be restored. Let God do a new thing in your life. Let old things pass away and all things. And then lastly, again, you're looking for a church home. You want Christian life, baptism, proper relationship with the Lord. We want you to be a part of our family. Our doors are open that you could come and be a part of Greater Brookville Church. We are not a cult. We're not trying to brainwash you. We want to teach you. As I said this morning at Christian Academy, the quality of your life is in direct relationship to the quality of your learning. You ain't learn nothing, you ain't going to be nothing. You ain't going to do nothing. You got to learn. And our responsibility is to develop, strengthen, and discipline lives so that you can be the new light of the Lord. That the world needs us. Amen. I was stopped down in Orlando. We stopped to have something for dinner, and the lady was talking to me, and I started witnessing to her, and she lit up, you know, just got excited. She said, I knew it was something about you. I said, so did I. No, I didn't. But that's what we do. Everywhere we go, we got to keep that light on. And she thanked me. Gave me a little extra discount. It was worth it. Just because I smiled. She said, you know, not many people like you come in here. I said, what kind of people is that? Because I thought at first she was talking about what I didn't want her to be talking about. Black Lives Matter. And you know, so it is. But just because I was a light, she was enlightened. And she thanked me. And all of you can do the same thing. Let your light so shine so that when men see, you know, y'all like to be seen. That's why y'all do your hair up and put on suits like Luther. They want to be seen. Right. But when people see, what do they see? Because what they see ought to be reflected in what you say. That's how we build the kingdom. One at a time. And so it is. Let's, if everybody's straight. Yes, sir. Oh, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Listen, on Thursday, we're going down to Zion to celebrate Thankful Thursday with Pastor Austin. So we're not having Bible study here. Those who come to Bible study on the regular, come and go with us. We're taking our Bible study on the road in the form of preaching at Zion. We're going to leave here at what time? 6 p.m. promptly. Trust me in this. If there's anything I know, if the Lord got Louis Davis driving the chariot from heaven, you be late if you want to, you will miss it. You'll be talking about swing low, sweet. No, the chariot is gone. So at 6 p.m. promptly on Thursday, we're going to Zion to carry this ministry in collaboration with the Zion family. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for opening our eyes and our ears afresh. Our time has been well spent together. We will now understand better the conflict. We'll better understand the challenge, the choices. We will better understand what we're going through and why. But we know the answer is in Christ Jesus. You will give us the strength to fight the good fight. And we will endure this hardness, not as scared little children, not as field mice, but we will endure this hardness as good soldiers. Tried, tested, battle ready, because you've given us what we need. Bless every one of them here today. They've held hands, they've shook hands, they've even given each other an encouraging oomph. But let what we have done here today be life changing. We laughed a little, we shared some moments, but it must resonate with us. We are all in this together. My fight is not against my deacon. It's not against my pastor. It's not against this person I'm standing next to or in front of. I am in a fight for my life with the devil. Satan wants to kill me, but I'm not backing up, and I'm not backing down. And I'm encouraged, Lord, to know today I'm not fighting by myself. I have tag in and tag out possibilities. For the Bible says, when I have regained my strength, I am obligated to go and help my brother. So you call me if you need me. You reach out and I'll reach out to you. Because I'm your helper. I am my brother's keeper. Bless this people now, God. They turn from this place, but not your presence. Oh God, let them see. Let them feel. Let them know that you are with them in all things, because you care what happens to us at all times. There's not one moment that you lose interest in us. There's not one hour, not one minute. In Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Look at least two or three people and tell them, I got you.